The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. And when they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. And then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. Today we celebrate the presence of God among us as a Trinity God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now it does sound like the doctrine or the theology of the Trinity is very far removed from us, but I would like to suggest that when we reflect on the meaning and the presence of the Trinity God, we will find something very personal and very intimate in our own spiritual journey. And in reflecting on this during the last week, I have found it very enriching for my own spiritual life. It's a mystery, and therefore we don't try to understand or solve mysteries. God is mystery. Saint Augustine would say to us, "Si comprehendis, non est Deus." If you comprehend, it is not God. God is beyond our comprehension. In the Buddhist tradition, they'll say, if you meet the Buddha, kill the Buddha. It's a false Buddha. If you think you can comprehend the mystery of God, Spirit God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then it's a false God. So let us look at this, what this means to us. It means that mystery is not to be understood, but mystery is meant to enlighten us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, three persons, bonded in infinite love, and the infinite love beyond our comprehension makes all three persons one God. That's the doctrine of the Trinity. So let me look at this and suggest to you that this has a presence in a very personal way in our own lives. In 1980, Elie Wiesel, a Holocaust survivor, an extraordinary person and well worth reading his books. Elie Wiesel went to Cambodia in 1980. He went on a humanitarian journey. And after he went there, he wrote this. He said, "I went there because when I was there, nobody came. For those who suffer, and those who are tortured, and those who are hungry, and for those who are imprisoned, there is a greater burden, and that is those who are forgotten. The feeling that you don't count, the feeling that nobody remembers you. This is a greater cross, and a greater burden, and a greater suffering," says Elie Wiesel, and he would know, because when he was in Auschwitz, nobody came, and he experienced what he would now proclaim in his visit to Cambodia, that the greatest cross we have is the poverty of abandonment. Mother Teresa would say the same thing. When she began her ministry in Calcutta, she began at a place called Kaligat. Kaligat is in one of the great slums in Calcutta, and she began a home for the dying. Not the destitute, not the homeless, but a place for the dying. And there, even to this day, and Mother Teresa would say, she only sends special sisters to Kaligat. The other places, homes for the destitute and the homeless people, but only special sisters will be sent to Kaligat. She mentioned that to me herself. And at Kaligat, she would pick up those who are dying on the street, only the dying, and bring them to Kaligat, and there they wash the person, they clean the person, and somebody sits next to that abandoned person until the person dies. Touches the person. She said, I want to assure this person before he or she dies that she is loved. She's not forgotten. And by the way, she would never baptize a Hindu, and they were almost all Hindus. India is only 2% Christian. But she never baptized a Hindu. You would offend a Hindu. She would love a Hindu into eternal life. And when the person dies, she would take the body to the river and go through the cremation and spread the ashes in the holy waters of the river. She was saying the same thing. The heaviest cross is abandonment, being forgotten. Now, why is this such a heavy cross? Because we are made in the image of the Trinity God. We are made to belong. We are made to find a home. We are made to be cherished, to be loved. Who is going to understand me? Who will feel my pain? Who will belong to me in my crisis? Who will hold me when I need to be held? Who will share my tears? Who will understand my struggles in life? Where can I go to find a home? When I find a home, I will find a God. When I experience this home, I will experience the Trinity God in a profound experience of being loved. Now we have this in the human condition. There is somebody in your life that you love so deeply and so profoundly, it's as if two people were one. And if that person dies, part of you will die. We have seen this. Part of you will die when that person dies, because the Trinity God is present in this profound, trusted, reliable, enduring relationship. If you have experienced a relationship like that, you have experienced the Trinity God. Plato, 300 years before Christ, said it this way: we are fired into life with a madness that comes from the gods, which makes us believe that we are destined for a great love, to propagate our seed, and to worship the divine. That's our destiny. Our destiny is to experience something deep, personal, and profound, a safe place, a place where I can discover who I am, a place that will be present to me in light and in darkness, in good times and in bad times, a place where I can truly experience the wonder of a Trinity God. I am made that way, in the image of the Trinity God. We are made to belong. Where that isn't present, God is absent. That's exactly what Elie Wiesel talking about, and that's what Mother Teresa was talking about in this profound abandonment, in the loneliness of that. God is absent. It's the absence of God. And therefore, when Elie Wiesel went to Cambodia and when Mother Teresa went to Calicut, she made God present. What does this mean to us? How do we make God present? Compassion, generosity, patience, forgiveness, understanding, love. All these things generate life. Anger, division, the emptiness of forgiveness, all eclipse the presence of God, diminish life. We've all seen it. We all experienced it somewhere where I can feel the presence of God. Or I can feel the absence of God in my life. The loneliness and the emptiness of a diminished presence of God is widespread. We probably don't have to look too far to find it. We may find it in our families. We will find it in our churches. We will find it in our communities. We might find it in our neighborhood. The absence of God, a diminished presence. The Trinity God is very easy to experience. And it's very easy to see and feel the absence of the Trinity God. So we're not in our spiritual journey, we're not meant to comprehend and understand the mystery of God's presence. We are meant to experience it. So what shall we do? When we reflect on the yearning inside of us to belong to a Trinity God, to experience God in our lives, what do we do to make God present in other people's lives? The touch of kindness, a touch of reassurance, the infinite love of God in the yearning to be loved. I know you told me last week you loved me, but tell me again. Well, how often do I have to tell you? You must tell me again. It's the hunger for an experience of the Trinity God. I think I mentioned somewhere in a homily some time ago, this priest who was teaching at the University of Chicago, John Dunn, who wrote many books, Why Should I Ever Say Forever? Why do I, why should I tell you who I am? Am I afraid to tell you who I am? Things like that. Psychologist, wonderful man. He told me once this couple came to see him. They were having marriage trouble. So he said, now, Mary, what seems to be the problem? She said, he's a neatnik. He drives me crazy. He comes home from work and he says, what have you been doing? What's this? And he drives me crazy. And if he only told me he loved me, then it would be energized. And he said, well, John, what do you have to say about this? And he said, Father, it's like this. When we got married, I told her I loved her. I told her, if I ever change my mind, I'd let her know. Makes you wonder about the Trinity God, present or absent.